From Part Unknown, your hosts, Tamion and Mark Revolver. All right, everybody, welcome to Parts Unknown Podcast. This is a special episode 2 here. It's the 8-bit episode. The reason for that is because I have one of my good friends and one of the hottest rising new talents here in Arizona and the Southwest. Nick Tendo joins me today. How's it going, Nick?
Hey, Marco. Thank you for having me on your wonderful podcast. Yes, I've actually been looking forward to this moment. We were actually supposed to do it sooner, right? Like, maybe a week ago, I think?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, but, you know, the industry, one thing comes up, another thing comes up. Thank you for being so flexible and letting me get some time with you tonight. Thank you.
Hey, no sweat, man. Yeah, I owed you, the favor, and you're doing me this favor, too. So, okay. I get to be a part of history again, being on the second episode. Yeah. So this is pretty rad to say the very least. So
thank you. No, and I get to have the first ever champion of the multiverse here on the episode. It's I'm excited to have it. Tell us a little bit about you're a double champion, as I hear. Is that correct? A champion here at Party Hard as well as XCW over there in El Paso. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's as correct as it'll ever be, as far as I've been able to prove myself. I was able to obtain the XCW Super Junior Heavyweight Championship in El Paso, December 17th of last year, which was about, a couple months ago, it's so funny saying last year. It literally sounds like a year ago.
Right. And that was also history making because of who you defeated, is that correct? If I'm not mistaken, you defeated one of the longest running junior heavyweight champions they had?
In a couple ways, I guess you could say, it was very, very monumental, I guess you could say. It was just an opportunity that arose for me, and then, being able to face somebody who is so talented like Danny G, he was still the longest reigning super junior heavyweight champion in XCW history. He's also the first, and honestly, I've been honored to call him a friend, as well as being able to say I'm honored to have him as an opponent so many times. And we were able to bring out the best in each other that night. And, and I, till this day, I couldn't thank him enough. I mean, he's shown me so much in this business, as well as many other people like Super Chaos, my tag team partner in AWS, as well as, Gillen Stone, Ryan Dean, just these guys who, took time out of their lives, when I wasn't doing as well, like a couple of years ago, I wasn't wrestling as much, and they just were able to poke their heads and stand and say, hey, look, Nick, like, we miss you, and, so I owe it to them, and not just them as well, but, my friends and family and fans, that always make sure that I'm welcome whenever I come back.
Yeah, no, and everybody loves you out here, and you have that great connection with the fans. One of the names you brought up there, I know, was a very big part of you coming into the business and even your training, Super Chaos, correct? Your tag team partner here in AWS.
Yeah, Super Chaos. To me, I still call him the master of the moonsault. He's, when I started training this guy, when I met him, he was like 250. He was just jacked. Like, he was just so built. Like he's been toning out now, so he's actually dropped to like 220, I think. 230, and it didn't matter. I mean, because he was the only guy I knew as far as training went that could do it like such a perfect, almost like jackknife, like somersault, like where he actually folds in half and then backflips in the middle of the air. And it's funny because like every time I was ever throwing moonsaults or whatever, I think just do it how Super Chaos does it. You know what I mean? And that's just one of the ways and aspects that he was one of the first guys I saw wrestling with Danny Yee when I typed in. Like when I first got into wrestling and wanted to do it, I was like, well, I need to see who's local around here in New Mexico. And I typed in pro wrestlers from New Mexico, and then Danny G popped up. So did Super Chaos, because they had a lot of matches together on tape. And they were just like back and forth bouts where it was just like, oh my God, like I want to do that. If I could get with these guys and train, you know, and I ended up meeting up Super Chaos and Dylan Stone and they were training. And then Danny G lived in town. So it happened. I was like, cool, perfect. So on occasion we all train. Yeah. And that's kind of how it went from there. So Super Chaos has fundamentally been a part of my career in an aspect where, I just try to like, you know, make absolutely sure they recognize what I've achieved. And I hope that in any way, shape, or form that anybody doesn't see what I'm doing now and think, oh man, like, you know, I hope Nick doesn't big time us or anything. It's like, honestly, I just get so busy and, you know, I legit hope he hears this and, you know, I couldn't thank him enough and, you know. Yeah, so he's always been like a big brother in this business, just like Danny G and Dylan Stone and just stuff like that. And being able to make so many great friends. He was one of those ones who were the first ones who showed me the basics of how to handle myself in this business. And, you know, it goes a long way.
It does. And I don't know. I mean, I might be biased just because of the area of the country that I live in and the people I get to see on a regular basis, like you guys, you, Super Chaos, Danny G. I don't know. How do you feel about the Southwest as a whole or the indie scene that we're cultivating here? And do you honestly think it gets the notoriety or the fame that it should, the name places should? Because I feel like a lot of places don't look at the Southwest as a hotbed, but we have a lot of not only great in-ring talents, but we have a lot of characters. And you don't see that elsewhere in the indie scene as you do here in Arizona, Nevada, New Mexico, El Paso, you know, Southern California. How do you feel about that?
With all things considered, actually, as a matter of fact, I mean, I think Arizona, especially, like, I mean, if you get, I don't know, I consider Texas Southwest, sure, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Like, Texas, New Mexico, even, I mean, you know, we have, like, a very, very untapped resource of, like, wrestling and talent. I mean, and it goes so many different ways. And I see it very much so, where you see, like, I mean, like, the guys I've traveled with, like, I mean, like, you know, you have me, who's, like, this basic, I don't know if I'm a basic bitch, but, like, I'm pretty basic in regards to, like, things I'm into, but, like, you know, I like video games and stuff, you know, and I handle myself as just, like, your average person, you know, and then you have somebody like Super Chaos, who's, like, you know, also a family man, but he's, like, very well-reserved, very, you know, very stern at the same time, but he's also very much, like, on the right path to, like, you know, what he needs to get done. Danny G, he's, you know, he represents, like, everything from New Mexico, where, you know, the baddest dude walking down the block, you know, like, you know, can see anybody like him and think, oh, man, that's what a true Chicano is, you know, and that's just three different guys, you know, and in a way, that's just, like, us, I mean, speaking of us from New Mexico, and then, like, with the guys from Arizona, I mean, it's so vast, you know, you see, like, a hard-hitting, big, badass, immovable object, such as R3, and then he's tag teaming with exciting Evan Daniels, who's, like, all over the place, and they mesh well so much together, and, you know, being able to watch them individually since I've been around and, you know, just seen them evolve, you know, it represents that, you know, champions like Alfred Reiner, you know, now Mike Camden, who's from California. I mean, we got a lot going for us. And I think, like, with the connections we're making, like, you could see, like, you know, we're truly, you know, I mean, if anybody from anywhere else, you know, decided to, like, who's hot from Arizona, and then our names popped up, that's all it would really take. I mean, and it's a big list of people. So, I mean, they have a lot to pick from. So I just feel like we're just genuinely just a well-hidden secret in regards to pro wrestling somewhat. But many guys like, you know, like Evan Daniel and Owen Travers from Las Vegas and, you know, all those guys have already made their tryouts on WWE, and it's awesome to call them friends and people I've met in this business too. So it gives me that hope as well. So there's hope within this treasure trove. So it's pretty awesome, and it's a surefire thing for motivation and confidence.
Oh yeah. Oh, I can clearly tell that I'm seeing a very early class of people that are gonna, you know, have their names well known within the industry, you know, whether it's going to WWE, which is, you know, eventually everybody's goal at one point to visit, or, you know, even some of the newer companies are, you know, not newer, but getting to be a household name, like, you know, ROH, you know, Evolve is making strides. We have, you know, the World of Sports coming back in the UK. I feel like not so much of a resurgence, because I feel like that's downplaying the popularity that wrestling's always had and captivating people, but I feel like people are willing to, you know, put money and invest in it, and the fans are willing to go out of their ways to catch quality shows, because there's more ways of seeing it nowadays. You know, there's YouTube, there's the different apps and the different streaming services. So I'm excited to see how everybody kind of career goes. But, you know, the one thing you were touching on is, you know, your guys' characters, how you guys are as real people and how you guys are, you know, when you guys present yourselves to the crowd. And I have to say, that's one of the, you know, biggest drawn, you know, myself, that introduced me to you, was just how open and how much of connection you have with your fans. And I remember the first time we talked, I felt bad because I turned around and there was a line of kids behind me waiting for Nintendo autographs and pictures. And,
what's funny is, like, I remember that actually. And I remember, like just meeting you, and I was like, holy shit, this guy wants me to be on his, like, be on his web show. It's pretty awesome. Like, so like, other than you and, I met you and Tim. Yeah. That was pretty cool, actually. I do remember that, because I even popped a little bit. I was just like, whoa, like, damn. I was like, cool.
I've never felt so many small eyes on me, like, just with, like, what is taking this guy so long, when I turned around and I was like, oh, I'm sorry. And I was like, but I remember going back to the, to my chair that day and talking to Tim and saying, man, that guy was just so down earth and so cool. And we have to have him on the show. And it was just a matter of time. And, you know, I've been able to constantly see, you know, you having singles matches and then having, you know, the run with Super Chaos and Super Nintendo, and just you guys, you know, your variety of being able to entertain people no matter what situation you guys are in. So, yeah, it's definitely, you can tell the connection with the fans is great. You know, what do you think attributes to that? What do you think is the reason why you have the fan base you have and the loyalty you have and the people here in Arizona?
Like, honestly, if I could really just, like, narrow it down to, like, just some key elements, and I'm seriously trying, like, I'm not even, like, I've never had a certain answer for this, but I just like hearing about people, like, their experiences as fans, because it's been a while for me just to enjoy wrestling as a fan, like, and I enjoy it as a wrestler, you know what I mean, like, as a performer, like, I enjoy it on that aspect, but it's been a long time where I get to, like, just sit and just, you know, like, so what did you think about, I mean, like, as a fan to fan, you know what I mean? Like, so like, if I can have that interaction with every single show, I don't ever want people to think, like, oh, man, like, I don't want to waste his time or anything, but I just want to get an autograph in and out. I encourage it. I mean, if people want to ask me questions, what I think about, like, other performers on the show, or what about this, or have I heard about other things going on, hey, I mean, if it means that, like, somewhat it sparks a relationship between me and a fan, where we bond more, it gives me just that much of a better reason to. And honestly, I encourage it. Like, so it's just basically, like, fundamentally making, like, I guess, like somewhat, like, friends. Like, and I feel bad because, like, a lot of times I don't remember, like, half the people I meet, but they're the same people that I see every single time who will, like, make efforts to, like, go out of their way to, like, say, hey, Nick, you know, kind of an autograph, like, I've never signed anything for them before, which is awesome, you know, don't get me wrong, you know, like, and it's stuff like that, you know, like, and it's pretty much just me being curious about, like, wanting to be a fan still, so that's what it really is.
Wow, and that's great, and yeah, I mean, some of the funnest moments of me being to go to shows as a fan was, you know, intertwined with you. The last, I believe, AWF show that we had here, your music didn't play on, you know, technical difficulties. The show is live.
Yeah, from, like, what they told me, somebody tripped over the aux cord. So, like, somebody tripped over it. They're like, and what's funny is, like, okay, and I remember being in the back, and I heard the intro hit, and then it cuts. So we're like, hey, what's going on? And I'm just kind of like, what's weird? I'm back in gorilla position right there behind the curtain. And I remember just kind of like, well, they either need to announce me or get the music working. Either way, I'm not coming out just for like, hey, let's go. Like, I don't want to look dumb, you know? But I was, like, what's weird is, like, I was bummed out, but I wasn't, like, worried or pissed off like anyone would. You know what I mean? Like, in those situations, like, you can't really anticipate what anyone would do. Like, I mean, probably anyone would be buzzed, but, like, it was an honest mistake. But I just remember being back there. I remember, like, as soon as my music hits, I do my thing where I do, like, a little hop around. I do, like, a little bit of running in place to get the, like, blood going. And then I remember the music stops, and I'm just like, what's going on? Like, and then I just, boom, stopped. So I just started standing there. So, like, I remember, like, I remember when I actually came out, I was more, like, calm because I guess I wasn't able to psych myself up. So when I walked out, it was A-okay. People were still, like, able to greet me with the warm reception that I guess I deserve. But it's pretty awesome, like, just to know that people don't care what your music is. People don't, they know you're going to be able to perform and stuff. And honestly, that's never been an issue for me, like, as far as, and, like, whatever happens until I get into that ring. So that proved to me right there, what matters is what happens in that ring. And that's what it is.
I felt like the whole crowd as a whole were like, man, had we known, we would have taken the time to memorize his theme song and sang it to him. But
everybody was like, what do we do? Like what? Like, I remember everybody was like, no. I remember I walked out, and I just remember I didn't know what to do either. I was like, I remember being calm, but I was like, oh, I'm just going to sing my theme song. But I couldn't even sing it. I couldn't even hear myself really when everybody was just like just chanting, like, here we go, Tendo, here we go. And then, like, they just kept going. Yeah. I was like, holy crap. Well, like, okay, I'm good. I just kept walking, and I went in, and so that's cool. I mean,
if they can't get him to the ring, we'll get him into the ring. Is
yeah. And then that they did. And I know my opponent that night, Jorrell Nelson, hell of a competitor, even helped out with that. And good guy. Yeah. Honestly, solid dude.
Yeah.
Gotta say, he's a talent to watch out for.
He definitely is. He opened my eyes. It was a great match. And yeah, no, you guys definitely, helped the crowd and, you know, gave. You definitely welcomed us for that interest and with your performance that night. It was awesome, guys. The other one, I mean, and I can't say this enough, is one of my funnest moments. When the culmination of the Funny Games tournament to crown the new champion of the multiverse at Party Hard, when you finally won the title, my God, that crowd was just... you couldn't hear yourself think. I couldn't hear you tell me stuff that night, and we were you yelled it at me, and you know that's how.
I know, dude. Like I just remember, like it was a surreal moment. Like I remember the match happening. That was the first time like I'd ever had a chair thrown at me. So many firsts in that match, but like the key moment was like I remember just like laying there at one point, and I think it was like after I had it, like me and Josh Carey had flung ourselves off the top. Like turnbuckle and a Spanish fly. First time I'd ever done that, by the way. First time, and I just thought it'd be a cool thing to do. We're laying in the middle of the ring, and I remember like just laying there, and I think like, holy crap! Just and I heard the crowd then, and I was just like, damn, everybody's so freaking invested in this. Like, and I remember just thinking like, this is it. I mean, this is the rest of your life, dude. Like, this is what it's gonna be. Like, and I remember just like. Having to tell myself, dude, get used to this because this is pretty badass. Like, don't get used to it too much, but make sure you savor these moments. And it was like as if time stood still. And then I remember opening my eyes, and that's when Brandon from Party Hard Wrestling ran up to me from ringside, and he tells me, "Are you okay to compete still?" And I just remember like, oh, well, what happened? Like, I remember it happening, but I remember vaguely remember the 10 count happening, and I was like, oh god. Oh crap, like what happened? And I looked over and Carrie wasn't standing up either.
Yeah.
But I just remember thinking like wow, like I realized at that moment in time, oh my God, I hit my head on the canvas. Yeah. And like I kind of didn't, like it wasn't a full blown concussion, but I just remember like kind of dazing myself. You know, like when you hit your head from like another pod with another body part, I guess you could say.
Oh yeah.
Like, I remember falling, and I remember, like, my hand kind of, like, just being there when I hit it, but my head hit pretty hard on my hand, but luckily it was the meaty parts. So I just remember, like, waking, and that's when I remember, oh my god, they already hit the 10 count. Shit. So then that's when they're like, are you good to compete? And I was like, yeah. And I was freaking out, and I looked over, and then, like, Carrie was just over there, like, barely standing up, like, trying to. And then they restarted the match. I was like, oh, God. So, like, at that moment in time, I was like, okay, damn it. So with that, it was, what's weird is, like, XCW's, you know, moment when I won that title was cool. And then when I won the Party Hard Wrestling title, that was awesome, too. They're both awesome in their own rights. And I remember talking to Brandon that night it ended. And he said, what was really cool was, like, you know, these two titles, like, you know, and I can't really say this for anybody, but for me, it was awesome for you to enjoy it in two different ways, because you got to enjoy the XCW Super Junior Heavyweight Championship victory with your son, for your son. Whereas tonight, Party Hard Wrestling, you did it. You're the first champion of the multiverse. That was for you. And then when Jack Jameson went into the ring, everybody was right there. The boys, Steve Arino, Tank Engine Thomas, you know, just surrounding the ring. Johnny Suave was up there, and I was just like, you know, he proved to me then, and when he pointed that out, he said, that was for the boys. That was for you and the boys. And, you know, when he said that, I had felt that, you know, I know, like, you know, like other friends of mine, like, super awesome, awesome dude, with no pun intended, awesome Andy, was, like, there with me. Like, you know, they weren't there in attendance, but, like, moments like that where, like, I thought about him, and like, I thought about Danny G, I thought about, like, you know, Super Chaos, and then it just culminated for me, and I thought, you know what, he was right. You know, so it was really cool to be able to hold, like, such a prestigious honor so early in this career of this, like, this promotion. And, you know, I have more than my work cut out for me in this, and to say the very least, I mean, I'm very humbled and lucky by these opportunities, and being able to go into March 10th as a fighting champion. I have yet to hear from any challengers, so I'm really excited to see who steps up, and that's exciting for me. March 10th at the world famous Nile Theater at Cabin Fever. Party Hard Wrestling is bringing another show to Mesa, and I'm looking forward to it as a main eventer, and I gotta keep the momentum going.
And it's been far too long. Everybody's been kept in way too much. Everybody's is having cabin fever already, so you guys don't want to miss that show. I am on pins and needles to see who is willing to answer your challenge. Because that's coming into hostile territory. You're automatically going to know, I'm sorry, but Party Hard is Nick's home right now, and you're coming in to challenge the champion. So no easy feat. I can't wait. And definitely go online. Tickets are on sale now. I'll be there. Nick, of course, is going to be there for all you fans. So that's going to be great. Now let's get to the hard questions here, Nick, the meat of it all. What video games are you playing?
Right, okay, so right now, I'm kind of dabbling with the Nintendo 3DS. I've been playing Retro City Rampage. That one's pretty sweet. It's an awesome game. It's basically, like, styled like Grand Theft Auto, but, like, 2D pixelated, like, version overhead. But, like, not too overhead, but it's like a platformer, kind of like how Pokemon was, you know, like, okay. You know, it's like that. It's pretty sweet. I recommend that one, Retro City Rampage. They have it on PC and the 3DS. Also, that's the only console I've been really playing, so I've been playing Super Mario Maker on that one, and then ever since they released it in December, I was able to get that. Evan has it too, so me and Evan are usually taking turns building levels, and then we also play Super Smash Brothers, and we just kind of play online. I'm looking into some of the newer consoles. Don't get me wrong, I don't want to like sound like such a Judas, but I'm probably going to end up getting an Xbox One, and people are probably like, Nick, what about the Nintendo Switch? Don't get me wrong, it looks like an awesome, like, console, but I'm like, I don't know, I didn't even get a Wii, you know what I mean? Like, I'm just, like, a homegrown, like, NES classics. Like, I love being able to have, like, actual cartridges where I know, like, these things, even if you scratch them, hell, if you drop a freaking cinder block on top of them, you know what I mean? Nothing's gonna really happen to them. I mean, you know what I mean? But, like, I like the aspect of, like, you know, just the classics, because, like, you know, these things are timeless, you know, and you know, Nintendo Switch, it's cool, but, like, I haven't really been too curious about it. I do want to, like, I just want to try playing it, though. I mean, I'm curious about how the gameplay works, but I don't know. Every system and console over time has always had its quirk, you know what I mean? So it's like, there's never been such a perfect console. There's always consoles that have suited people. Yeah, but as far as, like, any modern gaming right now, I've been just doing the 3DS, and then I still have my Nintendo 64. Actually, I have a Retron 3 that plays Super Nintendo, NES, and Sega Genesis cartridges on it.
Very nice.
And I saw Jack Jameson flaunting, I think it was on Instagram, that he got a Retron 5. I'm pretty sure it was him.
Yep,
and
I think so, yeah.
I gotta say, like, he's a lucky bastard. And, you know, I'm keeping my options open, so hopefully I'll get into that soon, because I understand you can play Famicom, Super Famicom, and Game Boy games on that one with the addition of the other three, so.
Yeah. I think you're right. He said he's gonna try to take it on the road, so yeah, no, that's gonna be awesome for road trips there. I know exactly what you mean, though. I think with the Nintendo, I was the same way. I actually bought a Wii, but I think with kind of the Switch, it's, I want to try it, and I think I'm going to be over it after trying it, kind of like I was with the Wii. I should have probably tried it more than buying it. I, myself, because, one, you kept raving about Mario Maker last time we talked, I went ahead and I bought myself a 2DS just because I've heard so much doesn't make any difference with the 3DS.
Yeah, it's funny, that's what me and Evan have. You know, 2DS? I have a Nintendo 2DS, but I just call it 3DS for people to, like, really...
Yeah, exactly. I love it. I don't want to give any secrets away, but I bought it used, and I don't know how Nintendo works, but somehow on the Nintendo shop, I had $67 worth of credits on this.
Are you serious?
Dude, I'm not even kidding you.
Holy cow, well, there you go, man.
Yeah, so I bought Mario Maker right off the bat, and then I put a little bit of money, and I got Super Smash Brothers too.
Dude, there you go, brother. That's the way to do it, man. Oh, yeah, that's a score if I've ever heard of one.
Oh, dude, I don't even want to go back to that store ever again, just in case they're like, hey, you come out here. Like, no.
Yeah, dude. Even if you did, it's like, hey, man, you know what? Whatever. Too late. You know, it's like, you know.
Oh, yeah, no, that's why I downloaded the games right away. I was like, mine.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Yeah. No, I know.
It's like you're going to go back and they're going to be like, hey, do you remember that 2DS we sold you? It had like $70 there on there. Do you still have it? You know what I mean? I don't think they'll do that. But, dude, kudos, dude. That's badass. Yeah, that's like luck if I've ever heard of it.
I lucked out, dude, because it was literally a $5 difference between the new 2DS and a used one, and me just being like, oh, $5, I can use that somewhere else, let me save that. I lucked out on it, so, but no,
totally.
It feels, I don't know, like, I like having the cartridge, like you said. I like having that, like, the hands on the console, and just, I don't know, like, it feels right. I have a PS4, I play WWE, 2K, Madden, the sports games, and GTA, that's about it, but I feel like it's just a paperweight other than that. I use it more probably for Netflix and the network than anything else, you know?
There you go. Yeah, and the reason why I want to get Xbox One, I freaking miss playing Grand Theft Auto. I want to get Grand Theft Auto 5, because flat out, dude, like, it's fun, dude. It's like the most legal way to relieve stress than to, like, be able to steal cars, boom, commit heists and do all this cool stuff, honestly. And like, people say, like, and it's cool, because I think that's why I've been so calm, mellow, reserved, and overall thick-skinned and steadfast, because of video games. Like, they've treated me like, they basically, like, I mean, and I know Jack will tell you this, Jack Jameson will tell you this, because I think we talk about this, but like, without video games, dude, like, people just tend to be more uptight. People tend to be more like, you know, like, at wit's end, dude. Like, everybody I know that, like, I ask, like, do you still play video games? Like, it's okay if you do, I do. And they're just like, well, I don't really have time for it. That's something that you really can't just, like, necessarily just make time for. But it's also something that if you do have time for and you're even curious, try it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying, like, I'm pro games to where I want everybody to literally have a system in their house. But, dude, honestly, video games, especially like Grand Theft Auto, it gives us the satisfaction of knowing, what if that happened in regards to, I don't know, throwing, you know, this, you know, Molotov cocktail at somebody's car when they're driving. But it's not like something I'm going to do in real life. You know what I mean? It's just, it's a good simulation for stress relief. That's how I see it. I'm not condoning violence. I'm just saying, it's a fun game.
I know exactly what you mean. There's things I do on a Grand Theft Auto. I don't think I lock my door because I don't even want anybody to see what I'm doing on there because it's almost like my Dexter world into like, okay, I don't do this. Like, I'm going to post up in like the grassy area until somebody comes to camp. And you know what? Sorry. It's just, but would I ever do that? No, I know exactly what you mean. I think wrestling fans or, you know, people, sports fans overall, like, we tend to appreciate having a pastime or having something that we can get into where it takes us away from reality, from our regular lives, you know?
A good case in point, like, the reason why I like Grand Theft Auto was the same reason I like Skate 3.
Oh, God,
So in Grand Theft Auto 5, and this is fun for anybody at home, if you guys are playing this, if you could spend just maybe, like, 20 minutes to maybe an hour of just running around the streets of Los Santos and just jumping and throwing yourself at other pedestrians, how funny it is. And I used to do that on Skate 3 when we were skating in Port Carverton. I would jump up, bail off the board, and I would hit somebody, and it was so funny. I would do that more than I would actually try to do, like, tricks or hit spots or something. Yeah. I was always doing that. Literally, like, when I found myself just like, oh, I'm going to kill time, I would do that. Just run, jump, and you do like a weird side flip, kind of like a crossbody, and you hit the pedestrians. Fun for all time, I swear. Oh my God.
Me and my friends, when it was like the old Tony Hawk, we would still pop each other trying to make our guy die or fall or, you know, wipe out the best way, the most dramatic way possible. So, yeah, no,
and that was always fun. Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah, I would still to this day, it was the funnest thing. Like, you can't recreate those kind of games anymore. But, yeah, no, I know what you mean, dude.
Yeah.
All right. I love how everybody's going to be like, oh, God, these guys are going to go into, like, video games and not talk about anything else. But let's go a little bit more into, music is, it's a big part of me. I know we've talked about a few different characters or, a few other bands that we like, but what is in your iTunes playlist or what's on your playlist right now? What does Nintendo get pumped up to?
Oh, dude, it's a little mixture of everything, dude, to be legitimately honest. Oh, sorry, I got a new sofa today and I'm like laying on it, so. Oh, that's amazing. Okay, so music. I have a little bit of everything. I have some metalcore, some death metal, metalcore of which, like, Killswitch Engage. You got some Parkway Drive. Okay. You also have some All That Remains, yes. Stuff like that. Okay. I also have a little bit of techno in there, like 90s techno. I got Eiffel 60,
okay.
64. You know, I got Blue.
Blue.
I also got, who is it, ATC. They sing that one song, Around the World.
Oh, like yeah. That. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but I just got into some synthwave, a band called Scandroid.
Ooh.
With a self-titled album. I think I posted something on YouTube.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, that track, Salvation Code, freaking goes hard, dude. You put that on, dude, you feel like, I felt literally like Ryan Gosling in Drive.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm just like, dude, it's a good soundtrack, all of it. I recommend that. And then there's also other bands like Perturbator. It's like a weird word, but they also do synthwave, very dark synthwave, like you think like post-apocalyptic movie set that was made in the 80s, but set in the future, the distant future of 1997, stuff like that.
Whoa.
I get a little bit of jiggy with it, with some 90s hip-hop, you know, I got Tupac, I got some Ice Cube, a little bit of, stuff like that. I also have, Cassidy, you know, hip hop rap. Iggy Azalea got in there once with some Fancy, you know. That song's just funny. Like, it's a happy song because I know it's like, it's so funny to like Iggy Azalea, but it's like that song Fancy, it's just a fun song. I'm sorry. It's a fun song. And I just like groove into it. And it puts me in a good mood. Even if I'm mad, I put that on and I'm just like, this song is so cheesy and dumb, but like, I listen to that, and then, you know, it's so vast and different. Like, people would probably hear my playlist. I know Danny G's heard it. Super Chaos has heard it because we've driven so many hours on the road, but they probably just are literally like, what the hell is Nick listening to? Like, but they've never mentioned it, but I know they thought it, but, you know, it goes pretty hard at the gym, but on a road trip, it's pretty much a different experience.
Jeez, it's a good variety. I like the variety you have. Yeah, dude, you actually gave me some street cred. I remember you posting that on Facebook, and my coworker is the biggest, like, EDM, you know, just trance music, like, all that into that. He's always wanting me to go to these festivals and everything with him. Mind you, he's a good 10 years older than me, so I don't know how this guy keeps up with all of this.
Wow.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
So you post that. I listen to, like, good 20 seconds of it. I was like, oh, this guy's going to love it. So I let him listen to it. And then he comes up to me and he's like, oh, finally, you're listening to some good music. I was like, I didn't, okay, thanks.
He's like, oh, yep, that's me.
Yep, that's me. He's like, finally, so you're going to come with me? And I was like, the only way I would go with a rave to you, I'm like, with you, is if you give me, like, glow-in-the-dark paint so I can put, like, a smiley face on my belly and just have fun, you know? Just have fun.
You need to do Ultimate Warrior face paint.
Oh, dude.
And wear the tassels. Kind of like Bailey.
Yes.
So it's like neon and it just glows. That would be hilarious. I would do that.
Here's the funniest thing. Everybody would give me like props for the costume, but none of them would know it's wrestling and like infused.
Dude, that's awesome.
Oh, all right. So
that'd be hilarious.
I did this with Jack, you know, Mark Revolvers, my stage name. We're going to do 6 loaded questions. They're a little bit tougher questions. Take them as you like. Answer them how you will, and have fun with them, of course. The one I always look to, because my first question is, I'm a comic, I love having fun. What is the best prank you have pulled on somebody, or somebody has pulled on you? Either in wrestling or in life at all, what's a good prank?
That's a really good question. Rib. Does that have to be personally involved?
No, you could have seen it or heard of through the locker room chatter. What's a good prank? What's the best prank you've come across?
Okay, the one I've heard of is actually from one of my trainers, Dylan Stone. Him and Super Chaos, I guess, used to work for this guy. I guess I won't really say his name. It's not going to hurt him. Okay, his name is Alex. He used to run a promotion here in Albuquerque like a long time ago. Ran shows here and there, but never really stuck. Anyway, they had like an outdoor show at the Balloon Fiesta Park here in Albuquerque, and that's where they have the world-renowned Balloon Fiestas, which is awesome for balloon festivals, but like not so much okay for pro wrestling events. Nice. They had an outdoor event, and there was just porta-potties everywhere, as they would be. And he had a stagehand, Alex had a stagehand, who I won't mention his name, just for like, you know, just safety reasons. But that guy, poor guy, walked into the porta potty, and then some of the wrestlers found out, like, hey, dude, what do you do, I'm going to go knock it over. They knocked the freaking porta potty over, and the poor dude came out. Luckily, bittersweet, kind of, there was no poop in that porta potty, but just blue piss. They said he crawled out, shrieked, and he, like, wanted to cry. Like, he really wanted to cry, and they were just like, what the hell, like, what the hell was going on? So then, that happened, and then, like, he literally would not talk to anybody. He would still help out with other shows, but would not talk to anybody. So it was kind of, like,
man.
It was crazy. So it was, like you know, it was kind of a harsh rib, but, like, from what they've even said, like, he wasn't even that much covered, like, with piss. I might have exaggerated it, but it was, like, on his leg.
Oh,
like, just
man.
All on his leg. So he was able, I guess, to, like, but like really put himself in a position where he didn't get covered, but I think it was like a brand new porta potty that was installed there because like, you know,
that could have been
no
way worse
poop.
Yeah,
so no poop, I guess.
Oh,
I still
mean,
pretty gnarly, dude. Like, I would have barfed. I'm surprised.
Yeah,
I didn't
hear
of anybody barfing.
That's a pretty good one. That's gnarly. You have to roll with the punches, but man, that would be a hard one to kind of get up from and try to laugh off. Man, wow.
Dude, I would, like, if I wasn't crying, I'd have been barked.
Yeah.
I would have just been doing both.
Easily.
Dude, like, poor dude, like, oh, man.
Yeah. Well, that's a great answer. All right. Second question here. What's This is kind of a weird question. So what's the either the move you hate to take or hate to give? Is there a move that you're like, everybody either likes to do it or some people like to do it, and you're like, what is that one thing that either people have asked you to do that you just don't like to do?
Well, what's funny is, like, okay, so, like, moves I don't like to take, if it seems, like, too simple, like, if it's too simple of a move where it's, like, if you're doing that, why don't you do it this way, but it just never happens often enough, like, where I've actually can complain about it, I guess. Basically, a move for me to not be able to take is a move that I feel like wouldn't be much of a payoff. Like, if it's, like, okay, you know, like, you got your standard chain wrestling, cool, but when it comes to, like, grappling and, like, if it, like, for instance, finishing moves, so far, every single finishing move I've taken was safe and felt like it's somewhat, like, in the level where I never really suffered long-term damage. Like, it still hurt, but, like, I meant safe in an aspect where it never, like, left me walking out of there with a weird limp or something.
No surgery, gotcha. Okay, okay.
Yeah, Josh Carey gave me, like, for instance, like, a cool belly to back thing where he lifts me up like kind of like into a soup, like a German soup, like not a German suplex, but like a, he lifts me up on his shoulder, right? And yeah, then he throws me back flying forward, and I like just hit my belly in between where he sits down. So I'm like, actually, I fall in front of him. Mm-hmm. And he hit me with that. I thought that was really cool. It didn't hurt as much as I thought it was. And I was like, that was cool. But like, if it's a move like, oh, I'm gonna give you a choke slam. It's like there's no sizzle in that. Like, I mean, unless you're like 9 feet tall, don't give me a choke slam. You know what I mean? Like, you know, if you're about 6'8", 6 foot or 6 feet, 6'5", little taller than me, but you still think you're like 7 feet, you know, unless you're giving me like a jackknife powerbomb, you know, there's really no reason to, you know, try and do like things that make you look bigger than you already kind of are.
Gotcha.
But, yeah, as far as moves I hate to give, I just don't like when people call, like, the super kicks anymore. I just really don't. Like, I remember there was a match I did. I did a super kick because it made sense in the match, but when I did it, I felt like, I felt like the millionth person throwing a super kick. Like, fudge. Like, I didn't feel original. I felt like, you know, I just didn't feel, like, different. Like, what's weird is I'm surprised it stuck with me so negatively, but super kicks are cool. They look cool when the people who do them, but if you see, like, four different people on one show throwing a super kick, it's like, I remember that used to be a finishing move. You know what I mean? And I remember when I threw it in that match, it, for its own way, it worked, but, like, it wasn't the finish of a match, and that's why I felt weird about it. I was just like, oh, that used to be such a powerful move, like, Sweet Chin Music, Shawn Michaels, like, you know what I mean? Like, and then now it's, like, super kick parties, like, we're gonna kick kids, but, like, you know what I mean? And I feel, like, just such a, like, a guy weird, like, throwing a super kick, and I'm just like, I don't throw a good one at all, like, you know what I mean? And at least I try to, but just super kicks are just kind of like, They're played out, you know what I mean?
And that actually, which leads to my next question, which I think we already have the answer for. What's the most overused move? Is it the super kick?
Alright, yeah, super kick is one of them. I was thinking about that the other day too, and I noticed like a lot of people are also now doing, No, it's not even overused at all. I've never done it, but, like, I've seen the double stomp done a lot.
Oh, yeah, like, there's the coup de grace, there's the...
Yeah, and I think I've even taken that before in a match, too, and that was cool. It's a cool move, but it's, like, not as overused as a super kick.
No. What about the DDT? It's almost kind of the same feeling. Like, at one point, that the DDT was a finisher.
Yeah, exactly. And that one was like, oh, I bet you, like, people, like, maybe a generation before us thinks, people need to stop using the DDT. You know what I mean? Exactly. And DDT, what's weird is, like, I don't see it that much. Like, at least on the indies I've been in, like, I've never seen too many DDTs at all. I really haven't.
Not in Arizona. I mean, not in our scene that I see, but I on probably on the main product, I see them a lot. The one thing I've seen, I don't know, at least in the indies, I don't know if you, I haven't seen our guys do much, and I kind of am glad to see it, because I don't feel like it's the route it should go. Apron moves. What's going on with apron moves? Everybody wants to take a move on the apron now.
Yeah, what's weird is, like, okay, and for the casual viewer, if you haven't heard an announcer say it, or definitely a color commentator say it, the apron's supposed to be the hardest fucking part of the ring, okay? Hardest part. But anybody doing a move on there, at least in my opinion, God, that better be, like, the freaking, like, kill shot end all, you know what I mean? Like, damn, like, that thing, like, I've even, like, accidentally, like, fell down to my knee on an apron once, and that thing bugged me for, like, 3 weeks. You know what I mean? Like, and then, like, you see dudes doing, like, freaking flip power bombs onto those freaking things, and then, like, in the middle of the match, and then, like, and then freaking going back in, and I'm like, what the hell? Like, God. Yeah. It's, like, gnarly. Like, it's cool, but it's, like, damn, like, shit. It just better be, like, I don't know, man. Like, God, people are taking the moves like that. It's just, it should be in consideration, you know. Take a little caution in that, and just remember, you know, that's where the metal part sits underneath the wood. Yeah. Like, you know.
Well, I don't see the payoff, you know, the reward being, you know, worth the what it could actually happen, you know, like.
Yeah, exactly, and it's like it's what's weird to me too is like it's cool like when Randy Orton does like the DDT from the outside of the apron, you know, through the rope, you know, like he has their legs up on the rope and he does that, and then what's that called, like the suspended DDT or something?
Yeah,
like he does that. See, that's cool, but if it's like, ah, man, you know, but it's like using the apron as like its own thing. Like, I mean, unless it's like telling a story of like, oh, this guy wants to take this guy out so bad, he's going to go to any lengths to do so. So like, how's he going to do it? You know, and he just does that.
Yeah. All right. Next question. This is kind of something that we've been seeing a lot of in the indie scene. Want your take on it, and actually a word like this. Would we ever see you competing in an intergender match?
Maybe. It's looking like that now, especially at Party Hard Wrestling. Alley Cat. She's doing it big for ladies out there, especially in Party Hard Wrestling. She had a big tryout in California for, I think she had it for Shimmer.
Yeah, I can easily see that.
Yeah, she was freaking excited for it. And then, you know, so when she told me that, I was like, oh, that's amazing. And then, you know, like, I respect her as, like, you know, as a performer, as an athlete and everything. So, like, yeah, honestly, I think it's pretty good. But, like, I mean, like, define all, you know, all reasoning behind it. I mean, in a positive light, though, I will put it in a positive light because I'm a positive guy. It gives younger girls out there, you know, motivation, because in this world, it's hard. Like, I'm an equal rights person for sure, and I think every single girl who wants to be a professional wrestler can step in the ring, just like, you know, Charlotte, just like Sasha Banks, just like Sable, just like, you know, Trish Stratus. They should pursue that. You know, a lot of those women of which have actually trained with men only. You know, so it's stuff like that. You know, it's the tough part of the business. I mean, there's not a lot of women out there who are training at least very sporadically. I mean, they're in certain spots, but unless you live down the street from those spots and you're a woman, it's hard. It's hard for, you know, young ladies out there to achieve their dream, especially if they want to be a pro wrestler.
So,
but with that being said, like, I mean, you know, with me and Alley Cat, oh man, I don't want this to sound like a challenge, but me and her would probably tear the roof off the place. You know what I mean? Just because I know, like, she's very able to carry herself in a match, and gotta say, you know, if you ask me who my favorite female on the independent circuit is, not because I think she's awesome, not because I think she's beautiful, not because I think she's pretty awesome, I've already said that, but it's Alley Cat, flat out. And she's just been always so nice to me when I've met her each time. And I owe it to myself and to her that, hey, you know, this intergender thing, you know, it's a barrier breaker, you know. And, hey, it's part of making history sometimes, right? So, yeah.
No, it is. I mean, and you are the champion of the multiverse. The multiverse has no gender boundaries or any kind of boundaries. So I can definitely that happening at Party Hard. And I'm not. I'll tell you this tidbit because I think you'll appreciate it. My dad was at the championship when you won the championship at Party Hard. And first of all, my dad fell in love with you. And he's like, I remember like the next day he called me and he goes, all those matches were entertaining. And then after I'll tell you what he told me about Alley Cat, he's like, but that main event was just so technical. And he's like, I haven't seen a match like that in years. And I was like, whoa.
Really?
Yeah, and it's funny because my dad's the one that got me into wrestling. He doesn't follow it as much, but it's one of those, like, he never followed it for the entertaining part of it. You know, he's followed it since Peru, where I'm from, where it's Catch-A-Scan, you know, wrestling. And just so he said that, and I was like, whoa. And so, you know, it was his first Party Hard show. It's his first independent show, and you sold the show for him.
Awesome.
Yeah, no, he's been hounding me about when Cabin Fever is going to be since literally the weekend after the last Party Hard event at Party Mania.
Oh, dude, give him a shirt.
Oh, yeah.
Give him a shirt, man.
Oh, dude.
Please, give him my shirt and tell him to wear it.
March 10th. He will. And they will be on sale as well on March 10th.
Awesome.
Now, what he said, though, made me pop because as soon as he says that, he goes, but that Alley Cat, oh, my God. I was like... And I just started laughing, and he's like, so then he goes, in the non, like, I don't know, like, he's an older guy, he doesn't care, he doesn't have any reservations anymore, he goes, so that match of hers, is it going to be online on YouTube, that she has other matches I can watch, so what's going on, how can I find more about her, and I was like, Brandon's going to put out a DVD, when it comes out, I'll get it for you, don't worry.
That's awesome.
But yeah, he fell in love with her. I think that's the first time my dad's considered opening and creating a Facebook account just so he could find her and add her.
Dude, so, that's the only way to do it, man. I think that's why I've stayed on Facebook so long, because I get so much free access to wrestling. Like, I see all my friends doing their thing, and I get to watch it if I have time, you know, and that's the cool part. Like, you get to see so many great things, and I honestly, hey, tell your dad I said I couldn't thank him enough. That's amazing. And, you know, tell them that's something to consider.
No, and it's, I will say, you know, I mean, as much props I'm going to give you, man, you weren't the only one in the ring. Josh Carey put it all out in the ring, too. He was a great opponent. Man, you guys meshed really well. That Spanish fly off the turnbuckle was beautiful. And then when you told me that was the first time, there's no way, dude. Like,
dude, it was scary. I suggested it, and I was like, hey, let's do it. He agreed. And then we hit it, and I was just like, oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. And, like, it went back to that moment. I was like, oh, God. You know, but they, man, it was crazy because, you know, a lot of the boys were just like, damn, dude, I didn't know you knew how to do a Spanish fly. And I'm like, hey, me neither. You know?
Oh,
pretty awesome. You know, just the aspect of it. I mean, being able to bring out everything I didn't think I had, you know, for, you know, just such a coveted prize. And, you know, to say the very least, I'd do it all over again, man.
And it's funny, earlier you were saying that, you know, Brandon let you know how much of that was for the boys. I don't know if you got a chance to see it during the match, because, you know, I don't blame you if you didn't, because that match was so, you know, intense. All of them were popping out of the curtain at one point or the other. There was a couple of heads until they just couldn't, and they started making their way out. And, you know, and by the time you won and the celebration was going on, like you said, the whole locker room was out, and just... They were there to see it. They wanted to see it, and they were happy to see it, man. And I'm glad I was able to share that moment with, you know, be a part of it and be there for it. And man, you know, that's just the tip of the iceberg for what's gonna happen with your championship reign and Party Hard. And you know, that's so exciting there. You know, your fans. Where else can they find more of you? You know, they. You know, when you're not at AWF, you know, where can they follow you online? Where can they find more content from you? You know, how else can they stay in touch with Nintendo?
Right now, it's just been sorry, I'm being rude. I'm over here yawning. I'm so sorry, dude. I'm such an elderly man. They can find me on Facebook at Nintendo. Just type in Nintendo. Twitter, I'm under, I think it's the 8-Bit Warrior still. Yeah, 8-Bit Warrior. I'm very rarely on Twitter. But, you know, I get email notifications, so my email goes ding, and then I like, oh, what email I got? And then it's a Twitter notification. So I'm like, okay, so I do pop in on there here and there, but Facebook's where I'm primarily at as far as one of the major social media sites. I'm on Snapchat. Nick Dustin Baca, actually. No, I'm a Nick Baca Dustin. And then when you add me, it'll just be a Nintendo 505 is my username there.
You heard that, ladies. You heard that. Just
Snapchat, and I'm always being, you know, awesome, you know, loving life, just acting the fool. You'll see me there on Snapchat. And then also on Instagram, Nintendo Pro Wrestler. Get at me, you know.
Oh, dude. It's you know, it's hilarious, you know, just to see how fast everything's, you know, coming and how everything is just kind of speeding up right now, and it's couldn't happen to a better guy.
Thank you, man.
You know, I know this last couple of months have been kind of a whirlwind of kind of everything that's going on, and you know, you have such a positive outlook on things. You know, that's, I know, one of the things that makes me gravitate to you and the fans as well. You know, what kind of advice do you have people out there for, you know, when they're just, you know, it's, things are not going their way, things, you know, that you can't control happen, you know, what's something that you can kind of give as a help for those people where they're just needing a little bit of boost and, you know, needing to make sure they stay positive?
Yeah. I guess, like, the best advice I could give now is, you know, as a couple of things. One, I said it on am I allowed to mention other podcasts?
Of course.
Nothing Approved with Dom Vitale. He had me on there in December, and it was right before my XCW title match. I mentioned that it's important to stay the course through stormy seas. You know, everybody has an objective in life. You know, everybody has goals. If you let those goals be, like, saturated with problems in your life, no matter how small or big, it's harder to live life in a very positive way. It's important to remember that positivity doesn't come natural. You have to find it. You have to go out there and find enlightenment. That's the key other element is, you know, happiness just doesn't happen on its own. It's hard to just say, smile and stay happy. You need a reason to smile. I think it's important for everybody to, like, take, you know, whatever they can from me and just remember, you know, I do what I do still because I have a son at home that I need to prove that, hey, you know, you got a strong dad now. And I know it's just me and you, but look, dude, we got each other, and that's enough for me if it's enough for you. And I try to remind him about that every day. And just the way he takes it, he says, you know what, Dad, you're right. And, you know, that gives me so much comfort in what I'm doing that it makes it easier, you know. It doesn't take away, you know, the sorrow of things that I've gone through, but, you know, I look back and I say, you know what, I'm just going to take it the way it is. I got to understand that I got a son at home that I need to make proud. Keep going. Keep doing it. And just seeing his face after every match I show him or every time he's in attendance. And just the way he looks at me and just tells me, Dad, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah. And then his next question is, Dad, did you know how awesome that was? And it's just like, dude, like, and I know that there's so many, like, wrestlers out there better than me, but it's important to remember I've made it to that point where I'm keeping myself happy with my son, and just having other workers from backstage telling me when they saw that video of him running in the ring after I won the XCW Super Junior Heavyweight Championship. I mean, I had Gino Rivera at AWF tell me backstage that he showed that to his wife and she cried, and he explained to her what had happened with my son and his mom and the circumstances surrounding that. And, you know, their immediate response was like, you know, that kid's got a strong dad. And that's not enough for me. And just hearing anything like that, sorry. No, hearing anything like that keeps me going for maybe weeks or months on end. And then when I get to a point where I'm like, now what? You know, it's not even sorrow at that point. It's just like, what should I be doing right now? And it's just like giving me the opportunity to build goals, like, okay, I need to do this. Do it. And then I do it. And I know that there's an outcome of which makes me and my son happy. And, you know, I just got into a new place with him, and he has his own room. I have my own room. And, you know, I've just been kind of laying low on the radar this last month in February, and being able to get ourselves situated. And, you know, it's just one of those things that, hey, you know, I'm doing this. I'm making it happen. We're going to be happy for a long while, and, you know, we have ourselves. So everybody listening, just remember, it's up to you to create your own attitude. And you can be sad or upset about the circumstances, but you gotta make it important to you to fix them and be positive about it. And there's so many ways and so many different scenarios, you know. And you could look it square in the face and say, you know, I'm ready for another round. And that's genuinely what life is, you know. Yeah. Just many opportunities to prove happiness to ourselves.
That's great, man. And that's great advice to live by, and to, you know, just make sure you're, you know, keeping your experiences and not letting them hold you back, and being able to, you know, continue moving forward and keeping the task at hand. And yeah, dude, that little guy is rad, and I got to meet him the last time you were out here in Arizona, and just being able to tell him, you know, and that little glance, like, hey, you know, you got a pretty rad dad, and just his face lit up, and he just nodded and agreed, and he knew, it's awesome, man. And dude, eventually you gotta meet my niece, cause she is, first of all, just in love with the two of you, like, has a little crush on both of you, which is so shy, cause, like, the day of the show will be like, do you wanna go? She's like, no, I can't, and then she'll, like, hide. But yeah, I showed her the video, and yeah, and it, you know, it started with her tearing up, then her showing my mom and explaining it to my mom, and so yeah, no, I'm an emotional guy, so I'm not gonna lie, I teared up, and my manager, who's this 25-year-old little blonde girl, loves wrestling, and you know, I showed her, and it was just those moments that. It's kind of one of those, like, I needed to see that, because it's just, it was helpful for me too. So thank you for sharing that with us and the world, and giving us that opening into, you know, you and your family, and just being able to let us, you know, be there and help you and support you through all that. And, you know, we're all about having fun. We're not going to let, you know, end it on a sad note or on a tearful note. I'll be yelled at by Mr. Jack Jameson if I don't do this. He asked us a question for you.
Oh, yeah, bring it on. What did he have for me?
He had a question. As you know, he is sponsored by Roughneck Beer Co. in Texas. So his question, verbatim, was, Nick, what the hell is going on with your beard?
Like, I don't even know how to take that. Is that a compliment, or is that, like, sheer, like, fear for this monstrosity? It's basically my attempt at growing a beard. I know it's not going to be as full as Jack Jameson's, the king of F Your Mom Styles beard, the Mr. Machismo. That's cool. That's fine. Well, Mr. Jameson, to answer your question, my beard is just a little bit overshadowed. Yeah, it's not as full as others because it's got this sweet yellow-leathered champion of the multiverse around its waist, kind of taking all the glory away from it. That's what's wrong with my beard.
Very nice. Very nice.
And then also, it's also that, and then also the black leather XCW Super Junior Heavyweight Championship simultaneously on my shoulder. So, Mr. Jameson, I hope that answers your question.
All right. Well, in that kind of terms, we can't let you go without moving it on and paying it forward to our next guest, which is going to be one of my favorite personalities and refs out in the business. I know he got to share the championship win with you at Party Hard and a few other great moments over the last couple of months. Ref Scott Johnson.
Ref Scott Johnson. Oh my gosh, Ref the Scott Johnson. Not to be confused with Dwayne the Rock Johnson.
No.
Ref the Scott Johnson. Love that guy. And my question for him is, Scott, do you remember maybe a few months back last year, it was probably last year, when Super Chaos filmed us jamming out to AC/DC Shoot to Thrill backstage? We need to do that more often. It's got to take off. So my question is this. Scott, we got to promise each other, can we do something like that social media-wise where we just rock out backstage playing air guitar like buffoons every single time? If so, tell me. That's fine if we can. If not, how often?
I feel like this is like the beginning of an air ban assembly that you guys are gonna tackle on, because I doubt you guys are the only ones that are rocking out to AC/DC backstage.
I just wonder if I could get like all the referees just to like rock out with me backstage one day, like just all the referees involved in a show. Usually it's anywhere from between 2 to 3. I'm pretty sure I could pull that off.
Oh, have a band full of, oh man, that'd be great. By the way, Scott, is like his refereeing, I don't know if it's just me over like marking out on him, but you gotta tell me, like, he has to be one of your favorite refs to work with.
I love working with Scott because like he's got like a genuine, like his genuine reactions to everything are just so like, you know, like if you were like out on the town in any situation with like crazy hijinks happening, he'd be the one to have around because his reactions would like fuel everybody else's reaction. Ref Scott Johnson is the ref to have at your local promotion. Hit him up on social media. He's an awesome official. I guarantee you won't be making a mistake when you bring down justice like the ref Scott Johnson.
Exactly. And I know you're still open for bookings throughout the summer as well, so make sure you hit up Nick. If you want fans to fall in love anywhere he is, you have to book him to be there. So definitely do that. Party Hard Wrestling, Cabin Fever, March 10th is going to be the next out. You're out here in Arizona. Of course, Nick Tendo merchandise will be available that evening as well, so come check me out for that. Even if you're out here in Arizona now and you want to rock some sweet Nick Tendo t-shirts before that event, hit me up. We got you taken care of. Any last words you would like to leave the Parts Unknown audience with, Nick?
Dude, I'm gonna use it right now. Marco, thank you so much for everything you've ever helped me with. Thank you for this wonderful opportunity. And just thank you for your true friendship, man. Like, I gotta say, with all the people, like I've mentioned before, that in this business, I'm lucky to have met you, man. And from the bottom of my heart, dude, you're a brother, man. Thank you so much.
I feel the same way, man. And that is from the heart. I love you too, man. And you're my brother. And this will be the beginning of a lot of fun that we'll have here on this ride of wrestling. So thank you for that. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Stay tuned for more content. Tamion will be on the next show. This is kind of a spur of the moment. I'm taking way too much time from Nick as it is. So thank you, and I'll see you guys soon.